soledad. That is within me, bless his holy name. The bride will
bless the Lord,
just bless the Lord,
all my soul.
Great things. Hallelujah. Yes, he has done great things. Oh, yes, he has done great things. Oh, yes, he has done great things. Bless his holy name. The bride
will bless the Lord,
just bless the Lord,
with all my soul
and all that is within me. Bless his holy
Amen.
I just want to say how good God's been.
Yeah.
You know, we had that thing a while back where we all got up and he said, don't bring it up to the Lord. And my daughter brought up her vision, and I'm blessed that she has been healed. I am blessed that everything that I brought up here, and we have such good teaching here. The Lord speaks to us so clearly. And I know that all the things that I brought before him, maybe it has not manifested yet, but he has already promised these things. And we've been taught not to look at the circumstances. And it's like I tell my husband, I'm like, I don't care what it looks like. He has already done it. And I'm going to keep walking it. And he's brought us through our surgeries. We have some more to go through. But you know what? He's going to bring us through those too. Because I have a rest in it. And this thing is getting brighter and brighter, and I love it. I love how deep this gets. It's a personal relationship, and you can't get this anywhere else. And, you know, we don't judge one another like that. You know, we know all you got to do is believe the word.
That's it.
It's the other things, whether you want to talk about the flesh or whatever, that tries to condemn me. But I have a revelation. I know who he is, and I know what he's done for me, my family. And nobody can take that away. The world can't take that away. Even if I never, ever live up to anything for the rest of my life, I know that I'm still worthy to him because I believe his word and I know it's true. And man can't take that away.
Right. Amen.
How about Sister Sandra?
Amen.
God's too good for me.
Yes, he is.
It's too good. You know, if I don't say anything, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. You've been nothing but a God to me. And I just want to let you guys know what I went through this week, what I've been through so far, you know, is nothing compared to what I've got waiting for me on the other side.
Right.
You know, I'm an overcomer. I've had to overcome. Yeah. I had to fight Satan every day since I was 17. 17 is when I realized I agreed with the word. And ever since then, you know, I've had my ups and downs. But you know what? I stand before you today as a son of God. You know, God's opened my eyes to what's behind me. This here. I believe that. And, you know, Satan can't do anything about me because my soul is perfect.
Right.
If nothing else, you know, We battle in the flesh. We battle in the spirit. But that's okay. That's right. God's got provisions for that. It's not about that. It's my soul.
Right.
Once I agree with the word, that's all I got to do. I just got to, you know, hear something. And I remember listening to my dad was playing a tape. Mom and dad were playing a tape. And I wasn't paying attention to anything before. But I just happened to walk in the room and Brother Branham said something. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, that's nothing but the truth. I mean, I had never heard anything like that before. But something on the inside agreed with it. And I just thank God I have that representation, that he put that seed in me, because he foreknew what I was going to do one day. You know, and ever since then, it's been a struggle. I mean, it's been a battle. But you know what? Satan's a liar.
Yeah.
I'm here one more time with my brothers and sisters. You know, and I just thank God. Amen. I thank him for everything that he's done for me and for just giving me that extra oomph to overcome.
That's right.
And to hear the word. And like I heard Brother Jim saying it out there, and it just rang true at my heart. He said, everything that he says, I believe. And that's my testimony. Right. Everything he says, I believe. And I told Brother Jim on the way in, I go, that sounds like a believer to me. Amen. Someone's talking. You know, and so that's my testimony. Yeah. I believe.
Amen.
Amen.
You guys can be seated. You can be seated.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother John.
Amen. My soul is perfect. You can't get any more perfect than God himself.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I praise him for this mystery, you know, through time. His mystery was become one with us.
Yeah.
And he's done it.
Right.
He has done it.
Right.
We are one with him. I praise him for that. You know, kind of sad to say this, but my kids turned me on to the app from the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I've never been part of that technology before.
Oh,
you know, and that is something else.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's good just to hear the prophet again.
Right.
And, you know, it just touched me. How reverent that man was, and how surrendered and how sensitive to the word of God he was. He would take his hat off, you know, and like Brother Moore, all those kind of little things, you know, they make a difference.
Yeah.
Be sensitive to God.
Right.
Be sensitive to the Spirit as it moves. You know, when God talks to us, be sensitive to it. Listen to him. And, you know, I will overcome everything.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about overcoming things. I'm a son of God.
Yeah.
I got God in me. And I'm going to overcome every battle that's in front of me. I'm predestinated.
Right.
I don't worry about that.
Amen.
I don't worry about my downfalls. I don't worry about all of that stuff. You know, that's just chooks of Satan.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's his job.
Right.
But I'm a conqueror.
Right.
You know, because God dwells in me.
Right.
And how much more perfect can you get than that? And God has revealed that.
Yeah.
That is what he's wanted to do. He's wanted to walk in man.
Right.
And, you know, when I walk into a room, it's God walking through the room. And you think on that and you dwell on that. And when you know who you are, this other stuff, I don't have to talk about that bad stuff.
Don't waste your time.
I don't have to think about that.
Right.
You know, Satan is so defeated. He is so little.
Right.
He is so out of the picture.
Narrowly.
I'm going to go all the way, because he wouldn't have given me that seed if he wouldn't have given me himself if he had known that I'm going to go all the way. By his foreknowledge, he predestinated me. He knew who I was.
Right.
He knew what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a conqueror, and I praise him.
Yes.
Amen. Yep. I'm so happy to be here right now. I'm so stirred up.
Amen.
Just sitting back there before the song started, just, you know, my cup was full, kind of cracking a little bit of tears, because I love this place. This place is a very serious place to me. You know, it just felt like I've been able to take an extra step and take things a little bit more seriously when it comes to this. So, like, I'm excited because, you know, at home I've been trying to get through the Church Age book, or the Christ the Mystery book, and been reading it with the boys. And it was exciting because Brother Moore said, you know, the last Bible study that we had, he said, in Wesley's age, that was as many believers in that white section as there was in that day. But then he pointed over to that last stage where it was just darkness. He said to find somebody like that's a real believer is rare. It's darkness out there. It's rare. We are a rare group of people. So what touched me was when, you know how Brother Branham would, you know, how he started the service and stuff. It's just so much like John said, the little things. He'd take his hat off. He was so reverent. You know, and I get that every service. Every time I come here, we get the same thing Brother Branham was trying to bring to the people. And it's just natural for us. It's just so natural because that nature change. I'm starting to see that nature change, how big of a deal that is and what that really does. And it's so exciting. So when he said in John 5:24, he said, he that heareth my voice, you know, and it's like, this is yours. If you hear it, you get to keep it. It's yours. If you don't have a problem with it, you know, you accept that thing. It's yours. You get to keep it. And I'm just so excited. You have so much to say. It's just, oh man. But I'm just so happy to be here. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Isaiah. Hey man, I want to sing It Is Well With My Soul.
Worth being excited over. That's your 224. Brothers, sisters.
That's right. This thing is beautiful. You know, Brother Locke and I was out there just talking. How, you know, God's just so good to this bride. And the thing is, if he says it, I believe it.
Yeah, right. That's it.
I don't need to argue. I don't need to try to figure it out. And, you know, we're reading the scripture out there. Jesus said, in my Father's house is many mansions.
Yeah.
If it was not so, I would have told you.
Right.
If God says if it wasn't so, he wouldn't have even told you so.
Right.
You know, like Brother John was saying, yeah, first Eve was ordained to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But this Eve's ordained to go out.
Right.
I don't care about your ups and downs. I've got one more up.
Yeah.
That's to take a body change and meet him in the air.
Right.
I'll never end on a down.
No.
A believer will never end on a down.
Right.
I end my story on an up. No matter even when I go through my daily life, I always end it on the upside.
Right.
Never ever on the downside. I'm a believer.
Right.
God's given me the answer to everything I need, whatever I have, situations, whatever it is. He's given me something to get me through each and every day. He's given me his word.
Yeah.
And he is his word. His very life is in me.
Amen.
I can't help but overcome.
Right.
I'm ordained an overcomer.
Amen.
And that's what I love about it. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't have even told me.
Right.
I'm simply ordained for this age. I'm ordained to speak the word of God. I'm ordained to get a body change.
Amen.
I'm ordained to wrap this whole thing up. I'm ordained to do that.
Right.
I can't do anything else. It's just the very life that's in me.
Amen.
And I love that. I love that kind of a testimony. I love knowing that. That's
mm-hmm.
That's what makes all the difference.
Right.
Once at my new birth, that was just the onset of everything else that was to come.
Amen.
It was just me finally waking up to the fact of all the promises, all the benefits that I've got available to me.
Amen.
If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Every single person's path I cross, every room I walk into, everywhere I am, darkness can't even come into the room.
Right.
When God walks into the room, darkness has to flee. It's just my very nature. It's just simply who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jay, I love that with all my heart.
Amen.
So when I come in here just to take it, God just takes you aside just for a space of time for you to come in here. Let him speak to you one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Just come in here and he says it and I believe it. And I don't just believe it. It doesn't just stop there.
Mm-hmm.
I take it and I put it in my life and I put it into action.
Right.
I say, God, here am I. Manifest your word out through me. And he does it with every, it's not even, it's effortless.
Right.
It's just with every single heartbeat, with every breath.
Amen.
It's simply, Brother John, who I am.
Amen.
It's simply my scripture being fulfilled. There's no mysteries for me.
Mm-mm.
There's no hopes for me. There's no guessing for me. It's full light now.
Yeah.
I see the whole picture.
Right.
I know how the story's going to end. I know how it started.
Right.
I know what's going on now, and I know how the story's going to end.
Amen.
Oh, and I love it. Sometimes you just take that little, you know, you kind of, you know, get the molly grub, so to speak. That don't last long. Not for a believer. I ain't on the upside.
Yeah, only up.
Just give me 1 second, I'll turn this thing around.
Right.
If I've done you wrong, give me 1 minute, and I'll turn it around for you. If it'll help you, if me it offends you, give me just 1 second. I'll fix that, too.
Right.
But if it wasn't so, he would have even told
you.
I love this.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Chad.
I love this.
It is well with my soul.
It is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like
me to say it is well, it is well with my soul.
Help me sing hallelujah.
It is well.
Satan,
though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control.
Great things. But again, I'm going to go back to the simple things. Just this morning, one of my brother in Christ helped me this morning. I almost tripped and fell as I was coming in. God is just so grateful, so wonderful, and I'm so grateful and thankful. I just wanted to say that, and I want to say to my husband, I'm just 100% behind you.
Amen.
You know, you Amen. Are a man of Christ.
Amen.
And I've been with you for so many years.
Amen.
You know, I have learned so much from my husband. I've learned so much from this ministry.
Amen.
And I just want to say I am just thankful and grateful again for Amen. Another day. For another day.
Right.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
God bless you, Scriptural. Hey, a quick announcement. Oh, come on up, Michael.
I wanted to get something off my heart. This is something I read Friday. I didn't have any school because I had a dentist appointment, and my dad took me. We read this book, and you know, something woke up inside of me. It's like once I started reading this. This is just the prayer. He didn't even start preaching it. And it, you know, let me read this. He says, but I think where the great thing is, that was me failing to go out the first time when he called me. And therefore, he makes it kind of rough on me when I come in. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And you know, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right.
Because if you obey, you won't have to sacrifice anything. Uh-huh. And you know, it made me think of my dad because, you know, he got rebuked because he didn't bring John here.
Right.
And you know, it just...
Amen.
I don't know. It reminded me of that time. And you know, this Brother Branham, I'm talking about something that happened 65 years ago.
Right.
And then he was talking about something that happened 4,000 years ago.
Right.
That just shows you how much God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, but God bless you.
Page 216. God bless you, Brother Micah.
Born to fly.
That's beautiful.
Too, and that was such a blessing to hear you, young man. I enjoyed that. And I love what we see here that our brother has done for our pastor.
This is beautiful.
I'm just happy to have this word in my life. You know, it gives me a rest and a peace when bad things do come my way. Like I got some bad news about my health this week, and I thought, well, I'm a conqueror. I can get over this, you know.
Right.
God will walk with me through this every step I go.
Amen.
And I've heard from all the witnesses of the other sisters and brothers as they have problems and bad things to go through and to conquer. And I know I will too. And even if I don't, I've got a house waiting for me, I know, on the other side.
Right.
And God's made it to my liking. He promised me that, and I'm going to hold him to his promises. And I just thank God for being there and being real in my life and letting me know who I am. And then I am an overcomer.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen, Brother Mike, you touched me. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. You know what? When you, every word entitles you. You know, I love the fact that I get to come into believers, like what Brother Jay said last time, define just one.
Right.
But we get to come into a congregation of many.
Right.
And we're strong.
Yeah.
We're talking different. You know, I love the fact that we're not talking about, you know, the woes, but we're talking strong.
Yeah.
Though I travel through the valley,
right. Yeah, yeah.
I'm held high.
Right.
Though I may fall, I get back up.
That's right.
That's what a believer does. They stand strong.
Yes.
And you know what? The obedience, there is a rest in that. When you rest on that word. I love what Brother Moore said. You know what? God hasn't talked to you because you haven't listened to what he said last time. You got to do what he says.
Yes, sir.
There's a benefit to that. There's a hierarchy, just like the man is to the wife. You know, the pastor is over it all.
Yes.
When he says something, there comes a price.
Uh-huh.
You know, because we pay our price on this side. We won't pay our price on the other side.
Right, right.
But yet, there is a rest because God is still talking to you.
Yeah.
God is still speaking to you because you are God in flesh.
Amen.
Right. I love it because he won't stop talking to me. There was a time where I was like, well, at least he's still talking to me. No, you can't not talk to me. He's talking to himself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the fact that I get an opportunity to come in here and just, you know, spread my wings. Because, yes, we go through things on this side. Yes, they can be difficult. But you know what? You always wonder, like, man, we're just an optimistic type of people. No, we have a revelation. You're going to see the good. Because for God is the glory.
Amen.
By his stripes, I've started even praying differently.
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, my wife is at home, she's struggling. And I'm gonna stand that she's gonna be in here.
Amen.
I'm done. You know, but by his stripes,
amen,
we are healed. And if she never does, I still love her.
Right.
I made a vow.
Right.
Till sickness, and it's a sickness of the mind.
Right.
But Lord, you gotta call it like it
amen
is.
Amen.
That's the spirit of the age.
Right.
They want to give you rights and give you, you know, emotional growth or whatever. No, we need a whooping.
Right.
Sometimes we need a whooping.
Right.
You know, said, spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Right.
There is repercussions for this.
Right.
It's not the fact that, you know, you can just go through your life and pick what you want. No, there is, I've done it. I've been the one who's, well, I guess I'll do what I want to do. Yeah, right. I got a pretty hefty credit card debt that I got, not literally, but, you know, through your actions. So when they say, you know, be Christ-like, it's not being, it's not a work. It's a manifestation of who you are.
That's right.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we're supposed to be the salt of the earth or to the last age, the last voice of the last age. But yet, how are we going to do that if we isolate ourselves? Mm-hmm. We got to be out there. We got to.
Amen.
I'm not trying to do a work. I'm manifesting who I am. You know, I have a job to do. I've got to get the debt up. I can't let anything else, no kids, no wife, no work. I have a job to do. And that's how serious it is because I'll come in here. I'll sit in the pew by myself. Because it says, for me and my house.
That's right.
This is important. So when I can get here, I want it.
Right.
And I was getting displacing. I was like, well, you know, because what Satan does is he talks to you when you're by yourself.
Right.
But when you're around a many-membered body, it's hard for Satan to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because you might be battling something, and then Brother Michael gets up and says, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right.
And you're like, okay, yeah, Lord. Yeah, because you get up here, and what this does is it scotches your tires.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you go down a hill, you might fall down a hill because you're human. But that scotch catches you. Oh, so I guess I'll go a little bit further.
Right.
I'll step out a little bit more. This is real. I love it. I love the fact that we have an opportunity to express ourselves because out in the world, you sound like a crazy person. But here amongst family, amongst believers, amongst other attributes of himself, we know. I love the fact that you can look what he's done, where we're at, and what will happen. And the fact that we have faith is evidence of things unseen. I know it happens. That's history. But the fact that I know that rapture is going to happen, I will have faith until I have a revelation of that rapture, until it's manifested to me. And that's all we have to do with the easiest job. All we have to do is have faith. He says something, walk on it.
Yep.
There's such a blessing in that submission. It's not, it's at first, you know, you think like, oh, you know, because that's Laodicea. It's lukewarm. You know, that's what Brother Branham said. You know, we're spit out of the mouth. I don't want you. But when you're hot, you're tempered, nothing can touch you. You get planted, nothing rocks you back and forth. So I thank God for revelation.
Yes. Right.
I thank God that God talked to me. He revealed something.
Right.
He made it where I could see myself.
Yeah.
Myself in it. He made it personal.
Yeah.
But I love to see the fact that we're talking and we're talking different. Amen. We're not talking like we're talking cancers away.
Right.
He said, you know, when you read Revelations, you said, for them that can read and believe.
Right.
And understand that the day is at hand. That's a prophecy fulfilled. So all we have to do is prophesy again and get out of here. And all we're doing is just prophesying what's already been prophesied. We're just, Lord, it's already been spoke. I just need the manifestation of it. I know that my loved ones are here.
Right.
I just, Lord, open my eyes so I can see my loved ones.
Yes.
I call for them by name. I know the name of the ages that are getting up. Who else knew the ages that were getting up?
Right.
I can, all right, Wesley, it's time to go. I know the order that they're going.
Yes.
No other age knew that. They had what they had. They believed in 100%. So, Lord, let me, in 100% word, let me believe 100%. Let me lift my vessel up. Let me be a willingness. So it's not going to affect where I'm going, but I want to bless you, Lord.
Right.
I want to use these hands. So, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for another opportunity to walk through these doors because we don't have many left. The time is getting close. Gather yourself closer. So, Lord, if the doors are open, if I can make it, Lord, through hell or high water, I'll be making it here.
Amen.
Yeah, much better, sir.
Amen.
I've seen Born to Fly, key of A. Remember, quick announcement that we're going to be for the Thanksgiving. If you haven't texted Elise what you're bringing, please get that done. So we know what that is. Remember those that are traveling. Remember the body around the world. You know, we got a lot of things going on, but just remember that.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Brother Mike Bryce asked the church to pray.
Yep, wants the church to pray for him. So let's remember him in prayer, Brother Mike. Same page 216, Born to Fly.
What's it like to be an eagle and to fly? What's it like to leave the nest and soar the sky? Well, I don't know just how it feels, but someday I know I will. For me, I was born to fly, and I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. I'm gonna leave this world behind for a better thing. Oh, very soon I'll say goodbye. I'm gonna wing my way to the eastern sky. My soul is ready to leave. I was born to fly. For so long, this nest of life has fettered me, and my soul has longed so much to be set free. But no house of clay can hold me when he comes in the clouds of glory. When I hear him call my name, I'm gonna fly away. And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. Through behind for a better day. Very soon I'll say goodbye. I'm gonna leave. Verse 2. For so long this nest of life has fettered me, and my soul has longed so much to be set free. But the house of clay can hold me when he comes in the clouds of glory. When I hear him call my name, I'm gonna fly away. And I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. I'm gonna leave this world behind for a better day. Very soon I'll say goodbye. I'm gonna wing my way to the eastern sky. New soul. Ready to leave, you were born to fly. Verse 2, one more time. For so long, this nest of life has fettered me, and my soul has longed so much to be set free. No house of clay can hold me when he comes in the clouds of glory. I'm gonna fly away, and I can feel my spirit getting ready to spread its wings. I'm gonna leave this world behind for a better thing. Very soon I'll say goodbye.
Dear God, thank you for everything. Another Sunday to wake up with breath in our lungs, with our right minds, the ability to come here and worship you and praise you and hear from you. Thank you for this opportunity today. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the testimonies. Thanks for edifying us already. Preach to us, Lord. Teach us what you need us to know. Make it a little bit brighter for us. Touch your bride around the world, Lord. Brother Mike Bryce asked for prayer. Yes, Lord. Lord, a centurion one time said, just send the word. Lord, we send the word that you touch and move out of the way. Any hindrance that Brother Mike might be facing, Lord, move on his behalf. And then get him right back in here to the house of God. Lord, be with Sister Sue, Lord. She heard some news, but you're greater than that news. Touch her body. Continue to heal Brother Trevor. Be with Pastor Moore and family, Lord. Be with his brother that's in the hospital. Touch him. Get our pastor home safe to us, Lord, and bless him and his family. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for this new pulpit, Lord, and ability to be able to use it, Lord. Thank you for blessing us with us and bless those whose hands put it together. Have your way with the rest of the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here this morning. See everybody. Having a good time this morning. God is good to us. He's given us so many blessings. As James was announcing, we got the Thanksgiving meal coming up, and we also got practice tonight for the Christmas recital for the young kids. It's going to be at 5:30 before service starts tonight, so don't forget that. And we're looking forward to that. And then that will be December 11th on a Sunday evening at 7 p.m., so come and support that if you have some time. Then we got New Year's coming up. Typical, we'll start dinner at 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve and start service, we say, at 8. Yes. And we might start a little early, but we'll at least go to midnight and bring in the service the right way. So Dad sends his thank yous. He got the thank you card. He came up yesterday and helped me put this mic in and get this installed. So told him thanks again, but he wanted to send a thank you to you all for the kind words, and we gave him a little gift. So he wanted me to send his thanks. And so I count it a privilege to be able to stand here today and do this. Poor Brother Moore's out of town, but I'll just have to step here and do it. But you know what? And breaking in. But you know what's funny about it is I wasn't asking to do it, but here we are this morning. So, but God knows what he's doing. And I enjoyed the testimonies this morning. I enjoy everybody's testimonies. Enjoyed your testimony, Brother Micah. That really blessed me. God's good to us. You know, you can serve God when you're young.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks.
That's right.
Because what it really comes down to is a relationship between you and God.
That's it.
It's not even a relationship between your parents, you and God. Not when it gets to that point. There's a point in time where your parents are the ones bringing you to church and they're the ones getting you to church. But there comes a time when you get this thing for yourself. And when you get it for yourself, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you in your life. Because it will lead you and guide you the rest of your life. It'll make you stronger. This is the best place you can be this morning. I think we sometimes take it for granted, but this is where the Word of God comes from. And I'm not saying it's only these four walls, but I know where I live and where I'm located. This is where I come and hear from God, Brother James. And if you want to get healed, come hear the Word of God. You want to get a new birth? Come hear the Word of God. You want answers to your financial problems? Come to church. You need a friend? Come to the house. You need a personal relationship with God? You want to get stronger? Come to the house. You want a spouse? Come to the house. And I'm not saying God guarantees a spouse for everybody, but here's what the Scripture does say. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. And the Bible also teaches me that the God sees everything we need. And he supplies every need that we have. And so he's never failed me. We've said it plenty of times. There's a lot of things that grow old or lose their luster in life. But the one thing that's never grown old is this message, this word, this revelation from God. It gets sweeter. It gets better every day. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. He knows exactly what we need. He sends what we need. He says what we need. He works through flesh and helps us along our way. He's a good God. And I'm thankful for him, everything he's done. And there's nice, good space and room up here. This is a nice pulpit where you can put everything out up here. So I'm going to enjoy that. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a few places here, but I want to start with Hebrews, the first chapter. Brother Moore had given James, Brother James and I, Brother Pickens and I, an assignment to listen to a certain message. And I did. And interesting enough, I hit play on that message. And just like Brother Micah got something out of a prayer, I got something out of that prayer. this morning too, or when I started listening. It's strange enough, Brother Branham just was praying to God and talking about how mighty God was. That he was the creator of heaven and earth. That he was a great God that could see the end from the beginning and know everything. So I want to talk about God this morning. So Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 1. God, who at sundry times, that's old times, and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Now listen to this next part. And the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. My title this morning is The Mighty God Revealed. And I got to work my way back to the scripture I'm starting with, but this is the main scripture, because I want to hold in on that Jesus was the express image of God. And I got a quote I'll read later that God got the best he could be revealed, the best he could be understood, was when he worked himself down into flesh and become one of us. But before we get there, I want to talk about God a little bit. And I want to go over the Genesis. And I want to start with chapter 1. Because we're going to talk about God being revealed. And we're going to work on it a little bit. And do you realize that before he was even God, he was Elohim? Elohim means self-existing. Self-existing one. God, by definition, means an object of worship. And before he had even created something to worship him, he was self-existing, Brother Lockett. And he was so great. Amen. Brother Branham even says it in Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, as the great Jehovah who covered all space and time, he was hard to understand because he's infinite. Right. He has no beginning, no end. Right. Here we are as finite human beings. That's hard for us to grasp. But do you realize God never started and he'll never end? Amen. You could... Science can talk about billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of light years, but they would still never go far enough to outdo and outfind God. Amen. He covers it all. Before science had a chance to understand anything, God was. Amen. Always has been. Oh, this God we serve is the one and only true God. Yes. Oh, there might be all kinds of things we make God, but there really is one God. Thou shalt have one God, and that's me. Don't worship any other God. The God I want to reveal, the God that's been revealed, is the one true God. Amen. So he was Elohim, self-existing one. You know, people that doubt Brother Branham, they use that against him. They say he don't even think God was God, just a devil, just a critic. I look at it completely the other way. My God's so great. Before he was even called God, he was existing all by himself with his thoughts, with his attributes. He had to create something to worship him just to go, he could become God. But before God was, Elohim is. That's not to confuse you. It's the same God. I'm just saying before there was anything to worship him, he was already in existence. You had better been part of Elohim, or you're not eternal. And I can say you better be part of God, or you're not eternal, if you understand what you're saying. But I'm just trying to break him down for you a little bit. God's always existed. He's always been. He never had a starting point. He was always self-existing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Period. Amen. Now, God created the earth and stuff and took 6 days, which we could kind of map out 6,000 years, but I like what Brother Bram said because I read it this week. He said that first verse just ended with a period. We don't know how long he sat there like that. They talk about how old this earth is. Don't get nervous about that. God created the heaven and the earth.
He could have sat there a billion years, a trillion years. He could have sat there as long as he wanted to sit there before he ever started creating that first day.
Amen.
They tried to age this earth. I don't trust science has got it right anyhow. They changed the age of something the other day. But regardless of how right or wrong they are, God created the heaven and the earth, period. So don't let science get you off this. Oh, I thought it was only 6,000 years. How could it take so long? He could have sat there a trillion years.
Yeah.
He could have sat there a number that we don't even know.
Amen.
What is they called a Googleplex today or whatever? My kids will say, Alexa, what's the largest number? I think they say Googleplex, but my God's bigger than that.
Yeah.
You can't even find a number to describe him.
Nope.
He's eternal, which means he had no beginning and he has no ending. He's without father, without mother. He's the great creator. He didn't need help from anybody to create this earth. He just spoke it and went out and moved on and quickened it to pass. That's the God we serve. That's the God we worship. That's the same God living in you and me this morning. Oh, that gets me excited. And this great God, he had thoughts. He had attributes. And I know that some of this stuff's been taught over the years, but I'm just going to take my time this morning. Because I'm going to get him down all the way down to flesh. Don't worry. We're going to work him down here to present tense. But I want to talk about him a little bit. So Brother Brandon was praying to him, said, God Almighty, he is. Always has been. You realize when there was nothing and the earth was out was void and without form,
Amen.
God moved up on the earth.
Yeah.
And he made it what it is today. Evolution didn't do it the way that science teaches evolution. God created this thing.
Amen.
For himself. Because he had things he wanted to do, Brother Lockett.
Amen.
He had things he wanted to be.
Yeah.
He had things he wanted to express.
Right.
He was all alone, and so to speak. Self-existing one. But he was like Adam. He didn't want to dwell alone. Brother Bram said God made man because he wanted fellowship. God's so great. He can break himself apart. And it's the same being. Yeah, he can be looking at somebody and feel like he's fellowshipping with him. Oh, we don't understand that. We just think of it. If I break a piece of myself, I'm talking to myself. God is on one side of me, he is talking to himself. On the other hand, he said, I got somebody to fellowship with now. I don't have to dwell alone. I got something else, an expression to look back at me and talk with me and fellowship with me.
Yeah.
Oh, God's much greater than we are. He wanted fellowship. He wanted to manifest things, Brother Lockett.
Yeah.
So he said, I got to make some things.
God.
And you realize eternal life, oh, there's only one form of eternal life. That's God's own life. And if you're eternal this morning, because we talk about having eternal life, if you're eternal this morning, that means that in Elohim, you are a thought. You are an attribute. You are a part of him. You didn't know it as like you have this conscious now. You, just like when you're in your dad before you were born naturally, you had no clue. But you're walking around your father. Well, go to the spiritual. We were in God. I wasn't conscious of it. It wasn't a pre-existence of souls, but I was in his thoughts. I was his attribute. I was a part of him. If you're not that way with God, you're not eternal. You had to be in his thinking always in order for you to be eternal. When you get born again, it's a start of manifestation of what God had in his thinking of you forever. That's what eternal life is. We might have a start when we get born again, a manifestation. But as far as being an attribute of God and being a part of him, we always was.
Amen.
Let me read a quote. We were in his mind, Brother Logan. Notice, this is from whose is Melchizedek? Those who have tonight eternal life was with him and in his thinking before there ever was an angel, star, cherubim, or anything else. That's eternal.
And if you have eternal life, you always was. Not your being here, but the shape and the form that the infinite God, and if he isn't infinite, he isn't God. I'm going to talk about it here. God has to be infinite. We are finite. He is infinite. He was omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. If he isn't, he can't be God. He knows all things. All places. Because of his omnipresent, omniscient makes him omnipresent. He is a being. He's not like the wind. He is a being. He dwells in a house. But being omniscient, knowing all things, makes him omnipresent because he knows everything that goes on. There can't be a flea bat its eyes but what he noted. Think about that. The little flea that you want to get off your dog or your cat. God knows how many times that flea bats its eyes. Oh, that's the kind of God I serve. I ain't serving Buddha. I ain't serving some man-made God. I'm serving an eternal God. Omnipresent God. Omniscient God. And that same God's here this morning. Oh, I know. I don't want to just keep him up there, but I'm just excited to talk about him. Yeah. But I'm going to work him down to you. Don't worry. Oh,
yes.
He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the fleas, bats, his eyes, but he knowed it. He knowed it before there was even a world. Ooh. How many times did it bat its eyes? And how much tallow it had in it before there ever was a world? Oh, that's a mighty God.
Amen.
That is infinite. We can't comprehend it in our minds, but that's God. God infinite. And remember, this should get you excited. You. Now listen how down he gets it. Your eyes. Your stature. Whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is expression, a word. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. If it isn't, you wasn't in his thinking. There's no way at all for you ever to be there. For he is the one that gives eternal life.
Amen.
You had to be in his thinking. And do you realize God had you so much in his thinking, he knew what you would look like. And we know what he was really after was his own life and that manifestation of his word.
Yeah.
But he's going to wrap a house around it, Brother James. And if he knows how many times a flea will bat its eyes, he knows what you're going to look like.
Yeah.
Oh, just wait till I'm a negative of it now. I look a little bit, but let me get that glorified body one day.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a perfect expression of what he wanted me to be.
Yeah.
All three rims perfect.
Amen.
That's the God that created heaven and earth. That's the God that's living inside of you. You had to come from him or you can't go back to him.
Amen.
Oh, he's omnipresent. I want to give you a definition of a few of those words Brother Brim said about him. He's omnipotent.
Yes.
That means having unlimited power.
Oh,
I got this problem in my life. Oh, I got this sickness in my life. My God's omnipotent.
Yes.
He's got unlimited power. The same God that created heaven and earth is here this morning, and he can heal your body. He can do whatever, change any circumstances in your life if he wants to. He's got unlimited power.
Yes, unlimited.
If he doesn't do it, it's just because he wants you to have it for another reason.
Yeah.
But God has any power. He needs to do anything he needs to do.
Amen.
He's omnipresent, which means widely or constantly encountered. Present everywhere at the same time. Oh my. He knows where I go. He knows my down setting. He knows my uprising. He knows my good. He knows my bad. He knows what help I need. He knows what situations I get in. He knows about the flea. He knows about the little sparrow. How much more one of these? He's everywhere all the time. Oh my. That's the real mighty God. Oh, when I start talking like this, my problem don't seem so big. When I start thinking like this, it seems very small. Where's that devil at now? One day we're going to look at him and say, that's the one that bothered us. Well, I'm looking at him this morning.
Where is he at? I serve an omnipresent God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God. And I'm not only just talking about him up here somewhere, but I'm putting him inside me. Oh, this is exciting. He's omniscient, which means all knowing, all wise, all seeing. Think about that. That's how great God is. Man ain't that way. I can't be everywhere at the same time. I don't know why everything's going on. But the God inside me and you, he knows all about the world. He knows the condition of the world. He knows that we can't even be here during the Great Tribulation. Amen. He's so powerful, he's got to help back. He said, California can't sink yet. Yeah. Putin can't throw the bomb yet. Because I ain't got my bride out of here yet. Right. But it doesn't mean it couldn't happen the next moment. Because he can change these bodies. And he's going to use us to speak the word to do it. Yeah. Right. Final voice of the final age. That same God that I just described is the one walking around in human skin today. Because I'm just giving you descriptions about him. But until he works himself all the way down to become one of us, we couldn't even fully handle him like we are. And he's infinite, meaning limitless, or endless in space, extent, or size, impossible to calculate. Oh, I love that. You can't box him in. You can't limit him. You'll never fully figure him out exactly because when you think you got him cornered, he'll just go another direction. He covers all space, time, and eternity. I don't care how much you try to literally say he's a good God or a bad God, you're just barely describing him. Oh, how could he? How could he let the people die in the dark ages? Because he's great, and he sees all things. And he knows all things. It's just your human mind that saw one little piece of him. Yeah. But God's so great, he has this big picture in his mind. He knows it's fulfilling the word.
Amen.
And he gave him everything they need to get through it. Amen. Oh, don't limit God with your thinking. Oh, no. Don't limit God in your own life with your thinking. Oh, no. All things are possible.
Amen.
To them that believe.
Amen.
I said it one time in here, just came to my mind. Infinity times anything's infinity.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Put a number on it's infinity. One times infinity is infinity. Infinity times infinity is infinity. But here's the other eternal number, zero.
Yeah.
Here's what's greater than anything times zero. You know what it is?
Zero.
Yeah. God's greater than any number.
Amen.
You multiply God times anything, it comes out God.
Amen.
You get one revelation, it's God. Yeah. You get many information, it's God. God covers everything. He's the great eternal God that we serve. He's infinite, omnipotent. He's all of your things. And that same God wanted to dwell in human bodies. Now, I'm over here in Genesis. I want to stay here for a minute. I'm going to work back in the New Testament, but it's only 11. I got a little bit of time. Let's just keep reading verse 1, and I won't read everything. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters were under the firmament from the waters were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament of heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So God just went down creating. He starts creating the grass of the fields, the animals of the fields. Until you get over here to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. And God created man in his own image. And the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. Now, God's the creator. Now, science has come up with something they call the Big Bang Theory and evolution. Now, I want to stop here for a minute because Brother Branham laid it out. Brother Branham said, I believe in evolution, just not the way science teaches it. He said, I believe God created things that lowest form of life on the earth and worked himself all the way up to man. And then I read this quote this week. Got me excited. But Rand says, but notice what comes after man. Nothing. Right. It's the greatest. Because man was what was created in his image. Right. Oh, if evolution was so true, where what comes after man? Yeah. It stopped. Yeah. Because God stopped. Because man was made after his own image.
Amen.
Now here's what's great. God, being so infinite and all-knowing and so great in his wisdom, he made us adaptable. Oh, that gets me excited. He knew we live in cold environments, warm environments, dry environments. He made us to where we can adapt to our environments. That's why people are different colors, different shapes, different things, because God knew we needed the ability to adapt. There's a quote I read one time where I think Brother Brown was talking about cows getting transported from one climate to the other. By the time they got to the other, they had grew more hair because they were going to a colder environment. There was something in them that says, I got to adapt. So don't let evolution scare you. God's the only creator there is. He started low and he came all the way up and he stopped the man because that's who he made in his likeness. And he made us adaptable. I don't care how much science says otherwise. God created this earth and heaven. We didn't come from some one little cell. We got created by the spoken word of God. Brother Branham says here, let me find it. In the paradox, like a man, another, no creature ever come up from its evolution, coming up into a higher species than a human, because a man is in the image of God who created him. There'll never be nothing higher. The word, let it go any further, because he is the word. You say, what's this have to do with that? I'm just trying to teach you God created this heaven and earth. That God's real. And I can't educate this thing into you. This is, you got to believe this by faith anyhow. No matter how much I read a quote or how much I try to explain it to you, you got to have faith to believe that God's real and that he is. And you got to diligently seek him for yourself. But I'm telling you, God stopped at man, and you'll never find anything higher. I don't care how much they want to teach you evolution, you won't find some alien somewhere. Brother Branham even taught us what those are. Those flying saucers coming down, taking somebody back to heaven with them. But this is the highest order right here. Because we were created in the image of God.
Amen.
See, I always say, I went to school. And just to like the devil, the same time I was wondering if God's real was when I was in biology. 10th grade. You know what they teach you in biology? Evolution. I was right in the middle of it. But I believe God created this thing. I believe it was created by a spoken word. I believe, like Brother Branham says here, now this might be a good, some of you high school kids, getting this stuff taught in you here about evolution. So he was talking to me. I believe in evolution, but not the way that man evolved from lower species. Their own theory backfires on them when they try to hybrid anything. It can't breed itself back. So it's backfired on them. I believe that when God began to bathe the earth, maybe the first thing he did for it was a jellyfish, from that a frog and on up. But you see, it continually comes closer and closer to the image of man. And a man was a reflection of God. And that's the reason why the grass became evolution, made the grass, and the grass the flowers, and from the flowers the shrubs, and the shrubs the tree. Why? It's a picture of the tree of life standing on the other side. Everything on this side is a shadow of the supernatural. So this earth that we're living on, that God created, wasn't evolved like man teaches it. God created from the lowest form all the way to the highest form. But he was so great. And I'll throw this in here. He created a species all the way from the creeping things all the way up to man. right next to man, he put a species in there called the serpent. And you read about that serpent over there in Genesis, the third chapter. Eventually, he gets put on his belly. And we don't have any trace of him the way he was before. But a snake don't talk to a woman. But the serpent talked to Eve. But don't worry, this was the time clock was ticking right along all the way. God knew the end from the beginning. And God being just, he couldn't make the fall happen. He just created the environment and let things happen and take their course. And the serpent was next to man. So much so, maybe we'll eventually get to questions and answers, that serpent could have a relationship with a man. You say, now you're talking crazy. Well, I'll just slow down for a minute. It says, he beguiled Eve. And you notice he just misconstrued one word. And Eve went with that one word. And as she was done talking to that serpent, for some reason, all out of the blue, she recognized she was naked. Now you say, well, it was an apple. Well, I'll tell you like what Brother Bram said. It was an apple. We need to pass them out again. There's people walking around half dressed and half naked now. Let's get them woke up again. He said, but that ain't what did it. Let's be smart about it, people. Right. We know what made him recognize. She had an affair with that serpent.
Right.
But this was part of God's permissive will, but it really is part, it makes his perfect plan come to pass. Yeah. If none had fallen, he wouldn't need to be a savior.
Right.
But that serpent was so close that it could have a relationship, and it did. And you say, I don't believe it. Well, you don't have to. I think it's clear. We'll talk about it. This ain't my message, but we'll talk about it in more detail later. But the Bible says you must be born again. I always say, if you have to be born, what was so wrong with the first birth? Why you have to be born again? So, must mean something was wrong with your first birth. Because how did God create? He didn't create through sex. He created through a spoken word. That was his original way. How did he make man the first time he created man? Man coming through a woman and being born of a woman wasn't God's first way. That was the wrong way. He was going to create all of us and get us here. But because of the fall, we started being born of mother and father. And God had to come down and redeem us to get us back. And he said, you must be born again. If the first birth was right, we wouldn't need to be born again. There was something wrong with the first one. The fact is you, that was that, it wasn't the way you're supposed to come. You're supposed to come by the spoken word of God. And Jude, it says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Go to his genealogies. You put Cain in there, Enoch's the eighth.
Right.
You take Cain away, Enoch's the seventh.
Right.
That means Cain had a different dad.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't Adam. No. It was the serpent.
Right. Right.
And even today, in today's society, you can have twins from two different men.
Amen.
If they sleep with a woman close enough, she can have twins and have two different dads. It ain't new. Happened back here in the garden, it can still happen today.
Amen.
You say, what's this have to do with your message? The fall had to happen so that this great God I'm talking about could be everything he wanted to be.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? It was in God to be a savior. If nothing was lost, there would be nothing to say. It was in God to be a healer. If nothing was sick. The Garden of Eden was so perfect. You never grew old. You didn't die. The day they ate the fruit thereof is the day you should surely die. It didn't happen until they ate that fruit. But because they ate that fruit, you know what? Sickness could show up on the earth. And then God could manifest another attribute called I'm a healer. And so this fall was all part of the story that allowed God to be everything he wanted to be.
Amen.
Without it, Brother Bram said in Crisis of Mystery, God could have been a father there, yeah, with Adam and Eve. But he couldn't have been a savior, a healer, a redeemer, and all these other things that was in him to be. But the fall allows him to fully manifest his attributes. And you know, that woman, and I'll just say it and we'll move on because it needs its own time, was not part of the original creation. You read over in Genesis, only Adam was walking around. She was a byproduct of that man. But that fall enabled God to manifest all his attributes. So now let's get to the part where we bring him down. This great God that we called omnipotent and omnipresent and omniscient and infinite, the one that created heaven and earth, the one that before he was God was Elohim, the one that's everywhere all the time and knows everything that's going on, he had a threefold purpose. He had a purpose of what he wanted to be and do. And that book where Brother Moore assigned to us didn't make it mandatory, but I don't know how well the way you call it. If you're a believer, you'll read it. Try to not make it mandatory, but it said you should read it. We ordered some more, and they're coming. Because I know we ran out just like that. So we got some more coming, but in that book, Brother Branham said God had a threefold purpose. And I say this a lot, but it always stuck with me. This great Jehovah, who covered all space and time, was so mysterious and infinite that we as humans would not have been able to understand him as some great spirit only floating off somewhere. But God didn't want to dwell there only. He wanted to come down to earth and dwell in human beings. And the first fold of that threefold purpose was God in Christ. Amen. Now we're back to Hebrews 1 where I started. God in sun-dried times spoke to us through the prophets. And we know that's true. God used prophets to write the Bible. Does nothing until he first reveals it to the servants, the prophets. God used prophets. But there come a time that it was more than a prophet going to show up. It was more than just a little space of time with a prophet to give a word for a season. And every one of those prophecies coming true, and it's what God wrote the Bible. But somebody showed up on the scene called Jesus Christ that had all the prophets in him and all their prophecies because he was the fulfillment of all their prophecies. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in human skin. Oh, this great God that's so omnipotent, omnipresent, didn't want to just stay floating as a spirit somewhere. He wanted to come down and get in human beings. Amen. St. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Jump down to verse 14. It says, the Word was made flesh. God himself come down and dwelled in the person called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just to throw it in here, brother. Children used to always say, I'll just read it short. Christ is a mystery of God. The Holy Ghost will reveal him as the Lord God of heaven made manifest. Him, now notice, not prophets, not kings, not nothing else, but here for the first time, God was revealed in Christ.
Yes.
In the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in human flesh.
Yes.
That's the revelation. Brother Branham says, oh my. Oh my, Brother Branham. Oh, I like it this way, because this great God I described at the beginning worked himself down to where now his fullness dwelled in a human being. And then you could touch God. You could fellowship with God. You could talk with God. Oh, before you pray to him and you hoped he lit some earth thumbing up, or you hoped he had a cloud or a pillar of fire, you were no longer waiting for troubling the water. You were no longer afraid to walk in the holiest of holies. You had God standing right before you in human skin.
Yes.
The omnipotent God, the omniscient God was right there living in human skin.
Yes.
That's why he could say, I am the resurrection. Because
yes.
It was God himself.
Yes.
Oh, this great God came down and said, I want to be human.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad he wants to be human.
Yeah.
He became me so that I could become him.
Amen.
Oh, he didn't want to dwell alone. He could have chose stars. Yeah. He could have chose the moon. Yeah. He could have chose the sun. But he wanted a human bride.
Amen. Yes.
And I thank God he did.
Yes.
He wanted to know what it was like to drink water.
Yes.
He wanted to walk around.
Yes.
The point I'm trying to make, we've described God with words. But now it wasn't just words. It was actually manifestation. Coming out. Being revealed outside a human body. Oh, that's what God did. Let's talk. You say, how's God so great? What do you mean he's man? The man part's just a house.
Right.
It's God in the house. It's the Holy God on the mountain.
Right.
Let's read a couple quotes here. Find it. Woman was talking to Brother Branham. He said, well, talking about Jesus, how could he be divine and then weep? Brother Branham says, well, you fail to see what he was. He was both man and God. I said, he was a man while he was weeping. That's right. But when he stood by the grave of the man had been dead 4 days and said, Lazarus, come forth. A man been dead 4 days, raised to life and come out of the grave. That was more than a man.
Amen.
Truly, he was a man when he come down from the mountain that night, hunger, and looked all over fig tree to find something to eat. He was a man when he was hungry. But when he took 5 biscuits and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people, that was more than a man.
Amen.
That's true. And I said, he was a man when he was laying in the back of that boat, tired, and the waves didn't even wake him, seemed to wake him. He was a man, no doubt, that 10,000 devils of the sea swore they'd drown him that night. He was a man laying there. But when once he called on the scene, amen, he put his foot upon the rail. The boat looked up and said, peace, look up on the waves, and said, be still, and the winds and waves obeyed him. That was more than a man. Yes, sir, he was a man at the cross when he cried for a drink of water. He was a man crying, I thirst. But on Easter morning, when he broke the seals of death and the grave and ascended up, he was more than a man. That was God in the man. That's right, and the same one lives in us tonight. As the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, yes, sir. And people today say, how could I believe that he's the same yesterday, forever? Remember, he promised in the book of Hebrews that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Jesus was a man. But that great God come down and was dwelling in the man.
Amen.
So much so, Jesus would walk around and say, when you see me, you see the Father.
Amen.
He was the perfect expression of God to the people.
Amen.
They needed grace from God. He was it. They needed a Savior from God. He was it. They needed the one that was born of a virgin. He was it.
Yeah.
They needed the rock in the wilderness. He was it. They needed the tree of life. He was it.
Amen.
He was all the scriptures. He will always come in the volume of the book. He was the manifestation of the full word of God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, God created. And we can talk about him that way. But he didn't want to just stay there. He wanted to come down and dwell in you and me.
Yes. Amen.
And he started his first fold, God in Christ. And he walked around. Yeah, he wept. He got hungry. He said, Lazarus, come out. And he did. All of God was in that man. For the first time, the fullness.
Amen.
Of the Godhead bodily,
yes,
dwelt in Christ. Oh, this makes me, like Brother Brandon said, feel religious for a minute. Because
right.
There's some people that try to make it all be in that pillar of fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those attributes were in God. I ain't taking that away. That's God omnipotent, omnipresent, God created and all that.
Uh-huh.
But God couldn't be all he wanted to be until he come down.
Amen.
And got in human skin.
Right.
Oh, that pillar of fire is great to see.
Yeah.
And it's a sign that God's around.
But oh, let's bring him down and get him in human skin. And then we can fellowship with God and eat and have communion with God and ask him questions face to face. Then we can really start understanding God. And God started that step in Jesus Christ because all God was right there in him. Oh, that gets me excited.
Amen.
I think it was Peter who said, Jesus, show us the Father.
Yes.
Peter, have I been so long with you that you don't know me?
Amen.
See, that's what the problem is. People look at the man too much.
Right.
Oh, but I saw you get tired.
Right.
Oh, I saw you hanging out with a woman at the well.
Right.
Oh, you're doing some things John didn't do.
Right.
They look. Listen, are you married? Some people, unbelievers, say that's just Joseph and Mary's son. But Jesus said, if you don't believe me for the very work's sake. I'm the very expression of God. See, God's very particular about his word because he is his word. We've said it over here many, many years. God cares about his word and his word coming to pass. More than he cares about your every little day fun you're having.
Yeah.
God said not one word will ever fail.
Right.
His word's going to come to pass. Because
right.
He and his word is one. And he can't change his mind about his word.
Yeah.
And so here was Jesus, the fullness of the word, expressing God right before the people.
Amen.
That was God's first fold.
Amen.
God in Christ. Let's read what Brother Branham says about it. John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word. The root from which we get our translation for the Word is logos, which means the thought and concept. It has double meaning of thought and speech. Now, a thought expresses a word, or words, isn't that wonderful? Now, listen, John says the concept of God was expressed in Jesus. And Paul says the very same thing in Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God became expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the expressed image of God. The Mighty God Revealed is my title.
Amen.
Jesus was the first revealing of God in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The very substance of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The great Spirit God, unto which no man could approach, which no man had seen or could behold, was now tabernacled in flesh and dwelt among men, expressing the fullness of God to man. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. God, who on occasions would manifest his presence by a cloud or a pillar of fire that struck fear in the hearts of men. This God, whose heart characteristics were made known only by revelation of words through prophets, now became Emmanuel, God with us, declaring himself. The word declare is taken from the Greek word, which is interpreted as exegesis, which means to thoroughly explain and make clear. That is what the living word Jesus did. He brought God to us, for he was God. He revealed God to us with such perfect clarity that John could say about him in John 1:3, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which is the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. He goes on. When God was truly revealed, he was manifested in the flesh.
Yes.
He that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
All that God was, just to summarize what I just read, was poured into Christ.
Right.
And we're going to move on, Brother Lockett. Brother Lockett said he didn't stop there. That's exactly right. That's where we're going to get to. That's the exciting part, because we're going to bring us into it here in a minute. But God, that was omnipotent, that created, that was a cloud, that was a pillar of fire, that was a rock in the wilderness, that was the captain of the host, that was the one that wrote the Ten Commandments, the one that was the Urim Thummim, the one that was. Come down.
Yes.
And was fully revealed.
Amen.
And could express himself.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The great God who covered all space and time could finally be manifested and understood by human beings. And that's what John was trying to say. We handled him.
Amen.
We could touch him.
Yeah.
You don't touch a spirit.
No.
But when that spirit wraps a house around it, you can touch it.
Yeah.
And that's what they were able to do with Jesus. He said, who touched the hem of my garment?
Yeah.
You can touch God when he's walking in human skin. You can feel God. You can really see him express himself right before you.
Amen.
And that's what he wanted. But he didn't stop there, Brother James. He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abides alone. I told you, God didn't want to dwell alone.
Right.
And neither did Christ want to be alone. He said, but if it dies, it can bring forth much fruit.
Right.
So wherein God dwelt in one man and expressed himself in Jesus Christ, he had a second fold.
Amen.
And it wasn't just God and Christ in groom form. It was going to be God and a bride, a many-membered bride body, the wife of Jesus Christ. Oh, that same great God, that mighty God that was creator, showed up in Jesus. Wasn't going to just stop in Jesus. He was going to spread himself out and get into the saints of God.
Amen.
Get into you and me.
Amen.
Oh, the God we try to describe. The God that we talk about how great. You can touch him in Jesus. But oh, people, look around you this morning. That same God's here again this morning. He's not up there floating on a cloud somewhere. He's not just doing a pillar of fire. He can do that if he needs to for a reason. But his emphasis this morning is just like God was in Christ. God is in the bride of Jesus Christ. You can touch God again this morning. You can handle God again. The Word is here again. Coming out through flesh. It's housing the Word. It's housing God. You can see him walk. You can see him talk. You can see him preach. You can see him amen. You can see him raise his hand. You can see him get up and read a quote. Oh, this great God's come so down and made himself so simple to where we can look at each other and say, that's a manifestation of God. Oh, this great God that created heaven and earth. I don't know how to make him any greater than that. All things were made by him and for him, and by him all things consist. That God can walk up here this morning and make himself so simple and carry a book up here and get behind a microphone and bring the whole assembly to tears. That's how great he is. Oh, that's how low he can come. I serve a God like that, that comes down and makes himself one with his people, walks in his people in the stream of human beings. That's what he wanted.
Glory.
He didn't want to just float around as a spirit. He wanted to walk around and talk and fellowship and experience life. Oh, and he's doing that through you and me. Oh, he's doing that through you and me. Let's read what Brother Bram said. Christ is Mr. God revealed. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church.
Yes.
The preeminences. All that God was, he poured into Christ.
and all that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. Oh, that I'm too tired to jump around, but I'm going to tell you, that makes me want to jump around. Oh, you think about it from a little kid. One of the first questions eventually comes, is God real? And who is God? And what is God? Why do we go to church? Do we serve God? How do I see God? What do we call God? That's just a basic elementary kids, students' questions. Where is he? Does he have a name? Or does the Bible say where I can meet him?
Right.
And you know, old people that get in denomination this morning are still trying to find God. But God's come down and revealed himself to me in such a way, revealed it, preached his word to me, come through the preaching of the word where he could give me an understanding.
Yeah,
I ran into a Son of Man that revealed the Son of Man,
yeah,
that I might become the Son of Man.
Right.
Amen. And oh, the God, I wondered who he was and where he was and how to find him.
Right.
I'm standing here this morning recognizing he is in the bride of Jesus Christ. I can call him up on the phone. I can get a ride to church with him. I can sit here in fellowship with him. I can raise my hands and serve God with him. I can go in communion with him in that sense. He won't have the communion like that until we're over there, but you know what I mean? I'm here talking with God, fellowshipping with God. I know where he's at. I know how to find him. Oh, I don't go to a closet and hope he shows up and gives me some feeling. Oh, I ain't looking for some clout somewhere. He can still do that. He did it in 1963. Oh, yeah, I can look for a pillar fire. He can do that to be a sign. Brother Bram said you shouldn't even preach until you met the pillar fire. But I'm here this morning to tell you I didn't meet him in that form. I met the pillar fire of God himself in a man. That's why I'm preaching today.
Yeah.
I met God.
Yeah.
I just met him in a man.
Yeah.
Where he talked to me.
Yeah.
Where he preached to me.
Yeah.
All these kids ask today, is God real? How do I find him? He's real. He's so real. He's sitting right here amongst you this morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that said, let there be light, and there's light. He's here this morning. He said, I don't want that sickness anymore. He can move it just like that.
Yeah.
Oh, he can destroy. He can create. He can annihilate. He's here this morning. And what's so great about him, and because I put him here this morning, you know where he's speaking from? Right here. He's not speaking from a cloud somewhere. Oh, you got to get him. If you're going to put him in human beings, you got to use it. Oh, he's not going to raise those dead up coming out of a cloud somewhere. He's going to raise the dead up to the bride speaking it. But just like Jesus the first time, that was the expressed image of God, said Lazarus come forth, that same resurrection's here again. That same God's here again. All that was in God was poured into Christ. All that was in Christ was poured into his church.
Amen.
That's you and me.
Lord.
I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
I am the one going to get him up.
Yeah.
I am the one that created heaven and earth. And I'm going to call that body up.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to heaven just on time.
Amen.
Oh, that mighty God, so mighty, so great. And we worship him. But he can make himself so simple and so real. He wanted to dwell in human bodies. And he's here this morning.
Amen.
Oh, that makes me feel
Amen.
Good, Brother James.
Amen.
Oh, is God real? He's so real, he's talking to you right now.
Real.
Oh, you being a man, make yourself equal with God. I know how to rightly divide that, but I'm going to tell you. Philippians, the second chapter.
Yeah.
Says, let this mind be in you.
Yeah.
That was in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Who thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God.
Yeah.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
That's what his word tells me to do.
Right.
So where's God going to speak from in the bride?
Yeah.
Where's God coming from in the bride?
Yeah.
Where are you going to see him move today in the bride?
There
was times he moved other ways. There was a time he was in a Son of God age. There was a time he was a rock in the wilderness. There was a time he was a brazen serpent. But that great God in his fullness is here again.
Yeah.
Walking around in a many-member bride body.
Amen.
You and me.
Yeah.
Manifesting himself. You want God revealed. You want him to really be made known. Brother Bram said about Christ, that was the first time it was perfectly revealed was in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Well, God's being made known again just like that, Brother James.
Right.
He's down here so real. He's standing in front of you making himself revealed again.
Amen.
The first fold of God's purpose was God in Christ.
Yes.
The second fold of his purpose was Christ or God in the bride.
Yes.
Christ was the mystery of God revealed. The bride's the mystery of Christ revealed.
Right.
But in one sense, it's all just God.
Amen.
There's only one God. The same God I described is the same God that's in, standing here to you this morning.
Amen.
He just shows up in different forms.
Yes,
oh, I hope he's making. I hope I'm making him real to you this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Brother Branham called him a mighty God in that prayer.
Right.
And it just moved on me. I thought, he is mighty.
Yeah.
But I understand him so much so I can look at him face to face. Oh, that gets me excited. Let me back this up for a minute.
Amen.
I'm going to be done soon, but it's 11:30, so I'm going to throw some witnesses in here. Give me Colossians, the first chapter. I'm just going to read you a scripture Brother Bram used in Christ is the Mystery. I mean, I'll read the whole thing, but I just want to show you something we got. Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13. I'll start with verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. Once again, his greatest revealing was in human flesh, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And here's a key verse for you. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
We talked about that first fold and the fullness dwelling in Jesus. Brother Bram used that word preeminence. He said what he wanted in that wife was preeminence, the oversight, the leading. See, Eve failed because she just believed one word.
Right.
But this Eve, this bride, is ordained to not fail. We amen every word of God. God says it, we amen it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. On and on and on. He's got preeminence in this bride today. That's that second fold.
Amen.
And I'll read the quote here in a minute. Brother Bram said that third fold was to restore back to the Garden of Eden condition. Where God walked with Adam in the cool day and spoke to him face to face. And you know, spiritually, we're already there. Communion with God, talking to him face to face. One day, though, even in this room here, I'll be like Adam and Eve. I won't grow old. I'll have a glorified body. God didn't want to dwell alone. I started that at the beginning. He didn't want to. He wanted fellowship with man. He wants to go back to a Garden of Eden condition as husband and wife.
Yes.
And live forever and ever. That's why our job is to get the rapture going.
Yes.
That same mighty God that said, let there be light here, is now calling for a body change. Because
yes.
We're going back to the Garden of Eden condition in all three realms. Because that's what God wanted. God in Christ. Christ in the bride. Living in a Garden of Eden condition. For eternity. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. Brother Branham says here, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. I'm going to tell you, that book you're listening to or reading, whichever way you decide to do it, is not hardly a better book you can read. Every time I read it, there's more I get out of it. Christ is Mr. God revealed. Brother Bram said, come back to this book. Notice, God has had a threefold purpose in his great mystery secret. God in his great mystery secret that he had before the world began, he had a threefold purpose. Now we want to go this morning. What is that threefold purpose? Now I believe with the help of God who's present, he'll show it to us. And if he had this threefold purpose, we want to find out what it is. The first thing was that God wanted to reveal himself to people. He couldn't do it as great Jehovah God who covered all space, time, and eternity. Could not. He is too great to ever be revealed to people because it would be too mysterious. How could that great being that never did begin, that you went beyond cycles of hundreds of billions, trillions and trillions of years of light space and on out into the infinity, into the eternity, and a great creature that all that was and still is, but what he wanted to do, he loved fatherhood. for he was a father, and the only way he could express it was to become a son, a man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying the Son of Man, see? That's why this message runs left, right, up, and down. I haven't hardly even talked about Son of Man this morning, but that's what it is. They didn't know what he was talking about, many of them, but now do you get it? Congress said amen. He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to express himself, identify himself with human beings, to reveal himself in Christ. The mighty God revealed is my title. Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. Now, he could do that in Adam and Eve, but sin separated them. So now there has to be some way to get him back. Oh, Brother Bram says, this is rich to me just to even think of it. See what God's purpose was? Now, why didn't he just keep Adam and Eve like that? Then he would never been able to express his fullness, his full attribute. He could have been a father there, that's true, but he's also a savior. You say, how do you know he was? Because I've had the experience. He is a savior. He had to express, and how could he do it? Only through Christ. How could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. Oh, my. He kept talking. He jumps on down here. First, to express himself completely God in Christ. Second, to have preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, the bride. To have the preeminence to express himself through them. God in Christ, now God in us. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightfully position that fell by sin, by the first Adam. Back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people. Talked with them and fellowship with them. We're doing that with him right now. I just won't be happy till I wake up. Like, but this mighty, mighty, mighty God that was Elohim, self-existent, had no beginning, had no end. Covers all space, time, and eternity. Said, let there be light, and there was light. That has all things consisting by his power. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. That same great God says, I want to be some things. I want to be a father, a savior, a brother, a sister, whatever. He not only stayed in that great form where we couldn't fully ever grasp him and get him, he's come down to dwell in human skin. First in Christ, now in his bride. Oh, that mighty God is living in people now, having the preeminence in people, speaking through people, moving through people. That's where his dwelling place is now. And it's through and in his bride that he will call forth a rapture, that he will set the captive free in the sense of saying, go and sin no more. Grace and truth through the bride. Meeting people every day that we say will be in heaven with us, on and on and on. Walking every day, as John said in his testimony, where I enter a room, God's in a room. And we say that humbly. We know that on one side of the coin, we were just like Jesus. I'm a man that hungers. I'm a man. Jesus lived good, but I'm a man with problems. I get tired. I grow old. Oh, I understand that. I'm not any smarter than any other man. That's human. The difference is by the grace of God, I got a revelation. I got that mighty God in me. That even though you might be looking on the outside, hidden inside that veil of human skin is God. Brother Bram said the mighty God unveiled before us. He said he had tents of badger skins around him back in the Old Testament, but now he's got human skin around him. Yeah. That great God's walking through us. So when you go out in the world, you're the only light in God that people will see. I think I got that quote. You take God with you everywhere you go. That's your life. That's your true being. That's what you come from. That's where you're going back to. That's you got eternal life dwelling in you this morning.
Amen.
Oh, that he's still mighty too. He can speak and make it happen. He can quicken. He can heal. He can create. He can annihilate. He can do all the same things. But instead of just floating around as a spirit in the Son of God age, he's walking around in human skin.
Amen.
To where he could fully express himself. Be a savior. Be a brother. Experience life.
Yes.
Oh, that mighty God's been revealed to you and me.
Yes.
He's down here walking around in human skin. Thank God we see him. Thank God we've handled him. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He's preached on this and that. He said, God was manifested in the flesh. No, people are waiting on God to come. The Jews still don't think he's come and all of those things, but he's come. And he's come a second time. And he's coming, but he's here today in his fullness again, Brother James. Walking around, people are missing him left and right. He's too simple for him. He's this great, mighty God. People view him only as staying up here somewhere, but that wasn't where he wanted to be. He wanted to come down and get in human skin.
Right.
He said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased to dwell." God was happy to dwell in Jesus Christ. And the same thing he says about Jesus says about you. He's happy to dwell in his bride. He says, "We're alone for one of the days of the Son of Man." Well, we're in another day. That's where we're at, little bride. It's that mighty God standing before you face to face. That's why we don't want to take it lightly. Oh, we have games. We have things we do. We enjoy this life. But when you start talking like this, those things seem so minor.
Amen.
Who cares about popularity? Or who cares about fitting in? Who cares about jobs? Who cares about this or that? When you realize that God has got a purpose going on, where he's walking around through and in a bride every day. He has a preeminence. Not my will, but thine be done. Where do you want to send me? Where am I supposed to go? Because that's where God's going. When he was here the first time in his fullness, you had to be at Jerusalem and where Jesus was. But now he dwells in a many-member bride body all over the world. This message is flowing. Thank God we see him. Thank God we understand him. Thank God we touch him. Thank God we fellowship with him. That mighty God's been revealed to you and me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for having your way, for talking to us for a little bit here, Lord, for speaking to us. Lord, we worship you in your greatness. Give us such joy to know you're all-encompassing, all-powering. You know how many times the flea bats its eyes, Lord, you know my daily walk. You got the whole world in your hands, Lord. And Lord, we trust you to watch over us. You supply all of our needs. But Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us, for making yourself known, for preaching the word to us, Lord. And showing us that word is walking around in human skin. That you're right here down on earth speaking to us and talking to us. Lord, thank you for that revelation. Have your way with the rest of the day, Lord. Be with each and every one as we go our way. Bring us back tonight for questions and answers. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Come on, musicians. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
I just want to point out something that back when all that happened with Brother, when he left out Pastor Moore to show how much it's God and not man. While he was gone, Pastor Moore mentioned that he's still gone. Look it up. He mentioned that he's still gone, but there's going to be a lot of good coming out of that. He prophesied that right there and then, and this day that prophecy has been fulfilled before every single one of our eyes. Of all the good that came from that obedience from there. You can look right up. He said that during that time frame while he was gone. I just want to make sure you know. I saw that. That's how much it's God preaching to us and how little it's man.
Amen. Man can't preach like that. I'll just tell you that. Come back this evening. We're going to still do questions and answers. And remember each and every one in prayer. And the young people will see you at practice tonight. I'm going to sing page 62 in the courses I saw the Lord. I think I'll need it in key of F. I saw the Lord. Yes, I saw the Lord. And he was high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. He was high and lifted up. And his train. I see the Lord. Yes, I see the Lord. Yes, I see the Lord. And he is high and lifted up. And his strength filled. He is high and lifted up. And it's true.
see the Lord, and he is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. The angels cry, oh, the angels cry, oh.